Kind of a sad place to end the movie, right? So now you're going to have to go watch it, the end of it, to get the happy part. Kevin left home alone. Great movie, came out when I was in high school. I love that movie. It's one of the classics now for Christmas. What started off for Kevin is so fun and enjoyable, running around the house, doing whatever he wanted to do, eating whatever he wanted, just doing whatever his little heart desired. Ended up, even though it started so great, it ended up with this scene right here, where Kevin looks around and he's reminded of the relationships he had that are no longer there. He's feeling isolated and alone. Some of those relationships weren't always pleasant. Some of them even caused him some stress. But those were the ones that he found himself longing for. He longed for relationship, not because he wanted the stress back, but because he longed to be with the others. You know, it's Christmas season, and the one thing we know about Christmas is that it amplifies emotion. I don't know if you see that in your house, but it does at my house. Everything is amplified. It's almost like it's not good enough to be happy at Christmas. You have to be ecstatic. You have that where people are like, oh, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas! Whew, calm down a little bit. But that's how it is, right? Because it's just everything at Christmas is so amped up. And people aren't just impatient, they're frantic. And you see that by people doing crazy things to one another at Christmas time, beating each other over the heads with TV boxes on Black Friday and things like that. We have this idea that Christmas, you know, it's all this emotion, it's all this amped up emotion. But for some people, and maybe even some of you here today, Christmas isn't always that joy-filled, happy holiday that we see on every commercial that comes on TV. In fact, maybe for you, this Christmas is just a little bit difficult. Maybe you understand when Kevin looks in the window and he sees the other family and he has that sense of loss. Maybe you relate with that. Because as you think about the season, it's not the happiness that you think about. For you, it's more difficult and maybe even painful. And instead of feeling the peace on earth that you think is supposed to be here this time of year, you feel very much home alone. We don't often think about this. I mean, why would we? We are told it's the most wonderful time of the year, except when it's not. And sometimes for some people, it's not. And when we put ourselves in that position, it becomes a little more difficult, right? Because we have this expectation that everything's supposed to be good and everything's supposed to be happy and everything's supposed to be up. Sometimes it's just not. And when we struggle with feelings of loneliness, it can lead us to wonder, what's wrong with me? What have I done wrong? Why am I the only one that feels this way? And what happens is this crazy emotion of loneliness leads to more isolation and more loneliness. And it kind of can be a difficult, dark path. It's almost silly to even approach the idea of loneliness, to be honest. Because when you think about our world and you think about our culture, we are the most engrossed in social media at any time ever. We have more access to connections with other people than any other time in human history. I mean, you just pick up your phone at any time and I can connect with any of my 753 close friends. They all care about what I had for dinner last night. They all cared about how my last workout at the gym was. At least that's what we tell ourselves, right? And they really don't. But we have all this social media, Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and everything else that's supposed to bring us together. And yet what we find is that we're the most isolated and we're the most alone that we've ever been. A few years ago, I ran across this cartoon in the paper. It's a cartoon called Zits. It's kind of funny. And you've got a crowd of teenagers and you've got one girl in the middle and she says, "Thanks for calling me back. I really needed somebody to talk to." And isn't that how we feel sometimes? Isn't that how life just really is for us? Is that we've got 753 friends on Facebook, we've got 150 followers on Twitter, and we've got Instagram and Snapchat and everything else. And we're flooded with information and we're flooded with posts and we even can post things and hey, people like it and that's good. But when we get done, it's just kind of that empty feeling and you just wonder, what is going on? We're more connected than ever before, but yet we seem to be more isolated than we've ever been. And it's not just something that I think has happened. In fact, as you look at studies that have been done over the last decades, you'll see that this is actually trends that are taking place, that when there are studies being done, that people truly feel more alone now than before. In the 1970s, they asked people, they had one question: do you frequently feel lonely? 11% of the people responded yes. Would you care to venture a guess what that statistic is in the last couple of years? 40%. 40%. I don't know if you're like me. I'm like, how is that possible? We do have all this connection. We've got, I can pick up my phone and I could call Hannah or I can call my mother who are hundreds and thousands of miles away. And I'm more able to get in touch with people now than ever before. So what is it that is creating this isolation? And before we sit here and we look and we say, yeah, but that's out there, it's really not. Because when we talk about 40%, we're talking about 2 out of every 5 people that would say, I frequently feel lonely. Take a look around in this room. There's about 60, 70 people right now in this room. How many of us, when asked that question, would have to say, yeah, that's me? Now, I realize that this isn't the normal, happy, joy-filled sermon on Christmas that just makes us feel good, but I think that we have to address some of these things, especially when we see it's such a real issue that people are dealing with. Because I think it's important that we look at and we consider, what do we do when we feel home alone? How do we respond when we feel that way? What's interesting is you don't have to go very far in the Bible to find an issue with loneliness right off the bat. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you can flip over to Genesis chapter 2. Now, isn't this crazy? Just one chapter into the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis is where it all begins. It's the very start. And right here is where we're going to be looking today. When you read the creation story and you see that God created everything, he had a phrase that he used after he created everything. We get this idea from the way it's written that he takes a step back, kind of folds his arms, and when he looks at what he's created, he kind of does kind of this satisfied sense of completion and joy in what he's done. And the writer of Genesis tells us every time God looks at what he's made and he says, it is good. He says, let there be light. And there was light, and it was good. And you go right through the list of everything he made: light and land and sea and air and heaven and vegetation and animals, birds, whatever. Every time you find God taking that step back, looking at what he's created and going, ah, that's good. And yet we come to Genesis chapter 2 and we see something different taking place, because for the first time, God makes the statement, this is not good. Genesis chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 18. Listen to what said. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, there was no suitable helper. No suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. I want you to think about just this moment right here. What an absolutely incredible statement it is. Because I think sometimes we read this a little too quickly and we gloss over or we miss the depth of this moment. We truly need to grasp what's being said. We have Adam who's been created. And there's no sin in the world at this point. It's before the fall. And he's living in a perfect place. He is truly in paradise. He's got run of the place. He's been given power because God has placed him over the dominion, over everything. He's got control. He's got power. He's got his whatever he wants to eat, except for the one tree. We know that gets him in trouble a little later. But whatever he wants, he can have pretty much. And yet, even in this moment, even in this perfect place, even with all this power, even with everything at his disposal, God looks at that and makes the statement, this isn't good. This isn't good. He looks at Adam. God looks at Adam and he says, this is incomplete. God looks and he says, Adam needs something. He needs human relationships. And from the very beginning of the Bible, we get this idea, this strong thing that you and I were created for relationships. Again, this isn't the result of sin entering the world. This isn't something that makes us weak. This isn't something that's because everything went wrong that, well, now we need one another. No. From the very beginning, when God shaped and formed humanity, when God made you and he made me, not only were we made with this God-shaped void in our heart or the God-shaped hole in our heart that could only be satisfied with him, he also created a human hole in our heart that could only be satisfied with relationships with one another. We often don't think about that. We often think we should be self-sufficient. We often think we should be able to stand on our own. We often think, especially in our American culture, you don't need anybody else. Be your own man. Be your own woman. Live on your own. Do your own thing. You're fine by yourself. And yet what we see is that the larger statement here is it's not about marriage. It's not about God saying, I'm ordaining marriage. Yes, you get some of that there. But even before that, God is saying, you need relationships. You were created for community, companionship. And what's fascinating is, I love the part of the story before Eve is made because Adam has control and he's naming all the animals. And what that shows me is that even though a dog may be called man's best friend with all the animals at his disposal, not one of them could fill the relational void that Adam had. Adam didn't need a pet. He didn't need a pet. Not only that, but when God made Eve, we see something equally significant. Adam didn't need a servant. Adam didn't need a slave. Because what we see in what God created was an equal. Someone suitable, on the same level with him. Not someone beneath him, but equal with him. A companion. Someone to share life with. And God met that need by creating Eve. One pastor I read this week put it this way. He said, God made us so that we have such a deep need for human relationships that not even paradise could satisfy it. Not even paradise could satisfy our need for relationships. And not even a perfect quiet time with God, not a perfect prayer life with God could satisfy it. Think about that. We read in Genesis that God walked with Adam through the garden, that God had communion with Adam right there. And even in that, there was something incomplete. It almost sounds wrong to say that, doesn't it? And yet, when we look at that scripture, when we read what's written about creation, it's God himself that looks at what he's made and he says, this is not good. It's incomplete. It's not yet done. Not a perfect prayer life could satisfy it. We are created to need other people. Paradise wasn't paradise without friendship. Unfortunately, even with so many people around us today and so many ways to connect, we often find ourselves so isolated and alone. I think there are a couple of categories that I would put this isolation into. The first one I would call situational loneliness. What I mean by that is these are the things that happen to us that cause loneliness in our lives, and really we had little to no control over. There wasn't anything we necessarily did to make it happen, and there wasn't really anything we could have done to stop it. It's just life happened, and therefore we're stuck in a moment feeling alone. I hear there's a time in life where your kids leave home. I'm hoping to get there someday. That empty nest syndrome could be a cause of loneliness. Or that boyfriend or girlfriend that you built your life around unexpectedly breaks up with you and you find yourself empty and alone. Your spouse decides that they no longer want to be married to you. Your employer decides they no longer want to employ you. Or maybe unexpectedly, or not so unexpectedly, that loved one that you'd spent years of your life with dies, and you find yourself alone. That is what we mean by situational loneliness. These things just can happen to us. There's nothing we did to cause it. Really nothing we could have done to prevent it, other than maybe locking your children in the basement. I don't know why a parent would do that, but you could. But that's the situational loneliness. But then there's another type of loneliness that I think we need to address as well, and that's self-inflicted loneliness. These are the things that we do have control over. These are the decisions that we make, the choices in our actions and our behaviors that cause us to be isolated. And so it's self-inflicted loneliness. There's several things that I think that can contribute to self-inflicted loneliness, but it begins with sin. It almost always begins with sin. We do something, we make choices, and it leads to us being isolated. Maybe it cuts off relationships that we used to have. Maybe it's you decided to end a marriage because you just didn't want it anymore. Or you blow up at that family member in anger and rage, and so instead of ever trying to seek reconciliation, your pride keeps you from seeking forgiveness. We start living a lie, we cut corners at our jobs, and these things that many things in our culture say is okay, and they say it's insignificant, but they begin to pull us further away from God, and they begin to pull us further away from our friends and our family and our church family, and then we find ourselves isolated. What's crazy is that when this self-inflicted loneliness begins, that it's never just one step usually. It's always a progression of steps, because it'll begin maybe very innocently with a sin that we think is not a big deal, but then that'll develop into shame. And that shame will certainly prevent us from talking to anybody about it, because we begin to say things like this: nobody will understand. I can't tell them. They'll just judge me. I'm embarrassed by what I've done, and so I can't open it up. I'm ashamed. Or maybe it's that you're not ashamed and you know you should be ashamed, and that's why you don't tell anyone, because that happens as well. But we have that shame, and then that leads us to believing a lie that no one will understand, that this is only happening to me. No one else in the entire world can possibly be feeling what I have felt or I'm feeling right now. It's only me. And it deepens that isolation, because we think they won't understand, or we think they will judge us. And after all, even if they understood, even if they do care, and even if they could help and encourage, we begin to convince ourselves, well, I don't really want to open up about it, though, because then I'll just be a burden to them. And I don't want to be a burden, so I'll sit here in my shame, I'll sit here in my sin, I'll sit here in my loneliness and isolation, because I don't want to be a burden. A story I heard not too long ago was of someone who was, this fits perfectly. Bad financial decision led to something that was tragic in their life. They'd lost their car. And instead of opening up and reaching out for help, they said, no, I have to sit here. I can't be a burden to anybody. So they began walking to work. That took them 2 hours, rather than reach out to somebody to actually get help. A room full of people would have been willing to help this individual, but instead they chose to believe the lie that, well, I can't tell, I don't want anybody to be burdened by what I've done. It's my fault. I have to suffer the consequences of what I've done. When we believe that, we don't share it. We continue that downward spiral. And before you know it, what you find is it's not just loneliness, but it's the depression that comes in. And the depression gives way to despair. And that's when it's really difficult, because when hopelessness sets in, then we've got a real issue. It's not a pretty picture, and I can hear some of you right now, you're thinking, my goodness, I didn't know I was going to be so depressed by coming to church today. What is wrong with you, Brent? Let's sing Jingle Bells or something right now just to start feeling better, right? I mean, that's what we want to do. The only reason I bring this up is because normally it's very easy for us to put the smile on our faces. It's very easy for us to say, hey, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, when on the inside we're dying. When on the inside we feel so isolated, so alone, feels like no one's there. And then when we remember the statistics that 40% of people frequently feel lonely, we need to remember that, especially this time of year. What happens when we feel this way is that many times we find poor substitutes for relationships, thinking that that's the answer. Now, maybe not this crowd as much as the first crowd. Anybody here a binge watcher on Netflix? Anybody? Don't be ashamed of it. No, all right, own your stuff now. I'll admit to it. I like to binge watch some shows on Netflix. We find substitutes for relationships sometimes, and when we feel those, have those feelings of isolation, we can replace it with entertainment, like Netflix or the internet. But what happens when that show runs out, and you search and you try to find something else, and yeah, there's 8 million shows or more on Netflix that you can continue to watch, but you do get to that empty feeling where it's like, oh. Or maybe you get to that place where you feel like, I've reached the end of the useful internet. Anybody ever felt like that? I certainly have. But what happens when we get there? What diverted us for a little while, what maybe pacified us for a moment, no longer is there. And those feelings come back in. And we realize that we're alone. Or we can pour ourselves into our jobs. We can work long hours. We can sacrifice family. We can push friends away. We can do everything we want to get ahead, thinking that as long as I continue to advance up the corporate ladder, that will make me happy. That will make me satisfied. That will make me feel accomplished and with relationship, only to find that that next promotion doesn't quite do it. And we find ourselves struggling with the same emotions again. We look to stuff to fill the void. Anybody here like retail therapy? Let's fill that void, that emptiness, that aloneness, that isolation. Let's take care of that. Let's just go shopping. Let's continue to buy stuff. But then what do we find? You have a closet full of stuff. Some things that you've never worn, things you've never taken the sticker off of, the tag off of. And you think, oh, maybe the next thing I buy will be the thing that really satisfies. And it really never does. You spend more and more money, only to find nothing is filling that loneliness inside. We can self-medicate to try to numb the pain, and sometimes we even go into shallow relationships, keeping them very surface. That way we think, oh, if I'm with somebody or if I have this person, then it'll be okay. But we never get beyond the surface, and we find ourselves still struggling to deeper and deeper isolation. So what's the cure? What can we do to overcome our loneliness when we have these feelings? Because I guarantee there are people in this room today who are struggling with this at some level. As I looked around the first crowd, I noticed there's, you know, an individual who this will be the first Christmas without mom. And maybe this is your first Christmas without somebody close to you. Maybe it's your first Christmas without that grandchild or that son or daughter. We all are there. We all have the possibility of being in this moment. What do we do to overcome the loneliness? I think it begins first with we need to stop and identify, why are we lonely? Why are we lonely? Is it self-inflicted or is it situational? And if it's situational, I think we need to be aware that even though we did nothing to cause that, if we're not careful and we don't address it, it can very much become self-inflicted. Because if we're dealing with it and we push people away and we put our hands up and we never let people in, it certainly will become self-inflicted. What is it? What is it that has caused you to feel lonely? Is it a broken relationship? Is it sin? Is it shame? Is it being a burden? What is it? How are you defining it? Identify that thing and realize that God did not create you to be in that place. God did not create you to be alone. God did not create you to sit in an isolation. We say the statement, no man is an island. That is true. God never created or expected you to deal with this all on your own. He never expected you to have faith that separated you from everybody. You were created for relationship and for community. Realize that and identify the root cause of what is leading to this loneliness. Some of it may be the broken relationship that you need to restore. You may need to suck it up, buttercup, and go ask for forgiveness from somebody. You may need to realize that sometimes you're unpleasant to be around, and that's caused your loneliness. We need to suck that up as well and say, okay, I need a better attitude, a better disposition, to be better to be around. All that to say, the second step is this: do something. You can have the greatest thoughts in the world about overcoming loneliness. And you can think, okay, you know what? I'm going to do something. But unless you actually do it, it doesn't get any better. You have to do something. Pick up the phone and make a phone call. Do something that will take the step, that will reach out to someone, that will let them know where you are. And you have to be intentional about it. Just tell somebody, I needed somebody to talk to. You know what? I was feeling lonely. Get over your pride. Realize you're not alone in this. Others have experience too. But you have to do something. And can I spoke this primarily to the first service because I fit in this category. I hate the phone. I know I carry mine around. I hate talking on the phone. I'd rather do just about anything than talk on the phone. But sometimes a text message doesn't do it. An email doesn't do it. Sometimes we actually need to pick up the phone and hear somebody's voice. And we need to be willing to do that. If you're sitting in this moment of loneliness, you've got to be willing to do something. Now, maybe that doesn't describe you. And if that doesn't, that's great. But you know what my counsel to you is? Open your eyes. Look around you. And look for those people that you know are struggling with loneliness right now. Don't be so overcome with your own stuff. Don't be so overcome with your own life. And don't be so blinded by everything around you that you miss the opportunities that are there. That neighbor that maybe lost their spouse this year that needs someone desperately to reach out to them at Christmas. That coworker that you can tell is not happy at Christmas and just keeps sliding further down. That family member, that church member, that person in your Sunday school class or discipleship group or whatever. Be willing to open up your eyes to see what's going on around you. And then be willing to do something yourself and step into and open up your life. Open up your family. Open up your heart to somebody else. If you're not feeling lonely, I can guarantee you know what it's like to be there. Be willing to help draw someone out and be that relationship that someone else needs. Next thing is this. Know that God has never left you. If you need to overcome loneliness, there are moments in your life where you'll feel like God is nowhere near you. But if you are a follower of Christ, I can tell you He has never left you. The Bible is full of verses that remind us there's nothing that can separate us from His love. We can never get away from Him. His love is always there. In Hebrews 13:5, we're told that God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Never. It's a very strong word. God is always with us. And then lastly, if you find yourself in this position of loneliness, write this down, Psalm 142. Psalm 142, because of time, I'm not going to get in it today, but that's a psalm of David. He'd been anointed king. He knew he was rightfully the king. He was ready to ascend to the throne, but Saul was coming after him, ready to kill him. And in this moment, we find David in a cave, and he writes these words. He pens this prayer to God. And as he writes it, he says, "I don't have anybody standing next to me. I am isolated. I am all alone." And in that moment, he says, "But I will have hope because God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my fortress." And if you find yourself there, read Psalm 142 and find the hope that David had when he was in the pit, when he was in the cave, when he was at his deepest, darkest loneliness. Now, as I wrap up here, I realize that when you're in the midst of loneliness, the worst thing that can happen is for somebody to look at you and say, "Well, stop doing that. Do something. Get out of that. Reach out," because that's one of the hardest things to do when you're in that moment. But unless we're willing to stop putting up the walls around ourselves, unless we don't stop digging that pit that we find ourselves in that keeps closing in around us, if we don't stop that, we will never be able to be all who God created us to be. God never intended to just be you. God never intended it just to be me. He designed it with an us in mind because we are built for personal relationships. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 tells us, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity on anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if the two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." If nothing I've said to you today applies to you, that's great. But I do want to encourage you, reach out. Open up your home. Share your life with somebody. One of the tragedies, I think, of our American culture is just how isolated we can become. We build our houses. We put up large privacy fences. We get home from work. We drive into a garage that the door shuts behind us as soon as we walk in the house. We need to take a lesson from communities around the world that know how to live communally, that know how to take care of one another, that know how to live beyond the four walls of their house in order to make sure they don't live in isolation. And be willing to do that this Christmas season. Invest in people. Invest in relationships instead of just investing in stuff. If this message has struck a nerve with you and maybe you're sitting in the midst of loneliness right now, don't stay there. Do something. Do something. Maybe it's this first step of realizing that you've never made that decision to follow Jesus. He's calling you from your isolation to follow Him, to experience that relationship with Him, so that even if you look around and everyone is gone, you know that He has never abandoned you. You know, being alone for a short period of time can be a good thing. I enjoy that occasionally, but we were never created for long periods of isolation. Let's make the intentional steps of either moving beyond the loneliness or reaching out to those who are lonely. And let's live in community just like God created us to be. Won't always be easy. Won't always be pain-free. But we will never be all God created us to be if we don't realize it's not good for you and me to be alone.